It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
Okay, so let's get ready to have our mind blown on today's episode. That might be an oversell, but at the same time, I think this will actually blow a lot of people's mind because they don't quite understand how the body works, why when they lose weight, they actually can potentially make things worse for themselves. And worse, I mean a higher body fat percentage or slowing down our metabolism and creating a lot of opportunity to rebound. And you see this a lot, like the studies and the research is out there. About 85 to 90% of people that lose a significant amount of weight in a short period of time put that weight back on, if not more. So imagine that, somebody who loses 30 pounds in a 6 month or even 3 month period, let's just say. Or even over a year, right? They lose a significant amount of weight, 60, 100 pounds. 85 to 90% of these individuals will put that weight back on, if not more. And there's a reason behind that. When you lose that much weight initially, you're doing a few things. You're engaging in a few lifestyle choices and habits that aren't conducive to long-term sustainable results. And you're doing things that are actually slowing down your metabolism. You're removing, if you're losing that much weight, you're removing precious metabolically active tissue, i.e. muscle, which is very expensive. Muscle is hard to preserve, needs calories, it needs a lot of protein, needs a lot of work to preserve that muscle mass, right? And if you pare down muscle, the body doesn't have to work as hard anymore, right? It's going to become less efficient or more efficient in terms of calorie expenditure, where it's not going to actually burn as many calories at rest compared to the person that has a lot more lean muscle tissue because it is so metabolically active, right? So a lot of people can't really understand this concept of, well, I've lost 20 pounds, but I don't know why my body, you know, doesn't look as shapely or why my body fat percentage actually went up, which is very common. You see a lot of people, they'll do these challenges and do these things where they're really, you know, restricting. They're doing a ton of training volume. Typically, with these challenges, it's usually in a very high intensity oriented manner and cardio based, things that make you sweat, things that make you burn a lot of calories while working out, those kind of things. And they find themselves 8 weeks, 12 weeks later, looking skinnier, looking thinner, but having a higher body fat percentage. And actually, because of that, they have a slower metabolism because the body fat percentage and the weight they lost primarily came from muscle and not fat, or too much muscle compared to fat, which will, again, slow down the metabolism. And if you go back to your old eating patterns, now you have a slower metabolism and you're not burning as many calories as you're used to at rest, but you're doing the exact same form of activity. You're burning the same amount of calories through what you eat, through the neat throughout the day, but you're eating like you were prior, but your metabolism is a little bit slower. What do you think is going to happen, right? Say you now you've knocked down your metabolism, your BMR, basal metabolic rate, so the rate at which you burn calories at rest, by 100. It's 100 calories slower. And you go back to eating the exact same way you were before, but now you're burning 100 calories less per day at rest, which you're not equating for. Over time, you're actually going to gain weight because you haven't equated for that extra 100 calories that you lost that you used to be able to burn automatically. Now you have to do that manually through activity, through your non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or with the foods you eat, right? Like a higher protein diet, for example, right? But again, that's a very low percentage. I've done another episode on that, so you can always dial back a few episodes and take a look at those exact numbers of how to burn more calories and where that comes from. So this is where people get into trouble. So going back to what we were saying about this typical approach to training for a lot of people that are looking to lose weight and burn off body fat, they will typically gravitate to modalities of training that are very heavy on the calorie burn, and we need to get away from this. I had a post on Instagram the other day that had adaptation over calorie burn, right? And this is the mindset, right? So if you want long-term results, stop doing that. Stop prioritizing the calorie burn during exercise, right? What you want to do is you want to prioritize the adaptation of the body, right? You want to create physiological adaptation. You want to do things that contribute to building lean muscle tissue, burning off body fat appropriately, getting stronger, improving your performance, increasing your metabolism or speeding up your metabolism. And what does that look like? Well, when we're training for lean muscle tissue, when we're training to get stronger, to enhance performance, when we're training to speed up our metabolism, that involves weight training, right? Traditional strength training, not jumping around a room, doing random stuff and randomly exercising. That's a different person. You know, if someone loves the way their body looks, they love everything about it, right? They want nothing else to change. They're just happy moving and exercising. Be my guest and do whatever form of exercise floats your boat. But if you're someone who wants a specific result, you want to see change in your body, we have to train in a manner that actually coincides with the goal, right? And that's through different types of strength training, bodybuilding principles, and training methods that obviously cater to that goal. But for this specific episode, when we're talking about long-term results, it's not sustainable nor practical or healthy to constantly be chasing the calorie burn of stuff, right? Like I said, it's gonna do more harm than good in most cases because it's gonna create this crazy, chaotic, you know, environment and relationship with exercise and food where you need to eat in a restrictive manner. You're going to affect your hormones because of that. You're going to be in a higher stress state, and you're doing a ton of exercise that's paring down valuable muscle tissue, which as we age, sarcopenia is a real thing, right? The degradation of lean tissue is a real thing. And obviously the breakdown of muscle tissue and breakdown of bone density is a real thing that we need to train in a manner that actually supports bone density, that supports the growth of lean muscle tissue, so we outweigh and we counteract the natural degradation and breakdown of lean muscle tissue. And we're just jumping around and doing a bunch of cardio that's not supporting lean muscle tissue. Along with aging, we're only speeding up that process, right? It's obviously we're still doing something active and healthy for us, which is great, but we should also throw in training sessions built around you actually counteracting what's naturally happening to the body. That way we keep the body thriving, we keep it strong, we keep it resilient and durable, and we allow ourselves to see long-term results without having to adhere to a crazy training regimen or a crazy restrictive diet, right? So we need to train for adaptation. We need to prioritize that. Now, how I like to do that is I'll make the primary sessions within my work week, right? Let's just say I have a 7-day workout training schedule from Monday to Sunday. You know, 3 to 4 of those are going to be based around really pursuing adaptation, right? For me, all of them are typically. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, one isn't, right? One will be I'm going to go out for a trail run or a bike ride, and I'm not thinking about how can I become faster or how can I run longer. I do it for my mental clarity, right? I like to do these things, so I go out and I just do it. I have some fun with it, right? The other sessions are based around adaptation. They're based around me getting stronger, becoming more mobile, more athletic, stronger, building lean muscle tissue, becoming more well-conditioned, that kind of stuff. I'm actually chasing and pursuing a goal to create a stronger, fitter, more resilient version of myself. Little plug for the SFR training system right there. Okay, so that's how I like to approach it. Most people have it in reverse. They might have one day of resistance training based on adaptation. Probably not. If you're only doing one day, you're probably not actually even thinking about that session being based on adaptation. Most people are just blindly going to studios and gyms and just doing whatever, right? And this is most people in the gym space. I'm not talking about most people in the world. Most people in the world don't do shit all, and they watch themselves break down and create a whole bunch of havoc and chaos within their body. What we're talking about is the population of people that are actually taking an action behind their body, right? And most people that are doing that and are working out, they're still following routines and doing things that aren't unhealthy, but aren't based around long-term results, which is why it's very common to find people fluctuate and fall in and out of working out. Like, there's a lot of people, if I ask them, well, do you work out? They go, well, I did a couple months ago, and you know, I've been busy right now, but it, life, right? And work's been crazy, and the kids have been busy, and but I'm going to get back into it. Like, they wouldn't consider themselves non-exercisers, right? But they're definitely not consistent. They're definitely not showing up, because a lot of what goes into consistency is result-driven, right? I'm a result-driven coach. I'm strength and performance-based. For me, myself, I want to see results. I want to see myself become a better version of myself, a stronger version of myself, building a little bit of lean muscle tissue. Harder at my stage now that I've, basically kind of reached close to my genetic potential, definitely not there, but it's going to be a lot harder for someone like myself with 17 years of resistance training and hitting some pretty big numbers for my size. It's few and far between to me gaining another 10 to 20 pounds of muscle, where someone who's a novice or new or, just starting out for the most part, there's a lot of opportunity to build a lot of lean muscle tissue and transform how their body looks, feels, and ultimately performs as well, right? Still a lot of opportunity for me, but it's not as much as the general population who is listening to this podcast, right? So that's the big key, right? Is that we need to kind of switch and reframe how we actually pursue our training schedule, right? And again, I understand this might be uncomfortable for someone because maybe they've never trained for adaptation. They don't know what building muscle looks like. They don't know what getting stronger looks like. They don't know how to train or change their training to actually match those goals. So they don't know, what exercises to choose, what programs to follow. They don't know if they're doing it right. They don't want to look foolish. I get it. One of the best things you can take away from this is if you are trying to improve a certain aspect of your life that you're not very comfortable in, you have to be willing to look foolish. That doesn't mean that you're going to go around and just look like a jackass for a year. What I'm saying is you're going to have to pursue something that you're not good at. And when you pursue something you're not good at or you know very little about, you are going to be a fool. You're going to look a little bit foolish, whether that's to yourself, to others, whatever. It really doesn't matter. When the first time you go to jiu-jitsu class, you're going to look foolish in the sense you're going to get tapped out about 15 to 30 different times, and you're not going to know what the hell you're doing on the mat. And guess what happens 3 months, 6 months, 18 months, 36 months later? You get a lot better. You get a lot more fluid, and you get better at the sport. You enhance your skill set. The same goes into learning a new skill at work, right? Or earning a degree, or learning a new subject, or actually building your body up, right? You are doing something that you're not accustomed to doing. So accept that, appreciate it, really value that you're doing something from the beginning again. And that's the problem. A lot of people, they don't want to do things from the beginning again. They've got to the point where they're very comfortable and complacent in life. And they go, well, I'm done learning. I'm done starting from the beginning. I'm done starting from the bottom. I don't want to look foolish. I only want to do things that I have a decent level of competence in. Very narrow-minded, fixed mindset, right? And those are the same people that struggle over and over and over with body image, with confidence, with anxiety, with fat storage, with muscle breakdown, with hormone issues. Like, this is a mindset we need to change. This is a reframe, right? You have to be willing that way 6 months from now, a year from now, 2, 3, 5 years from now, you've really developed an incredible new skill. One quick story I'm going to tell you guys. When I was in Thailand a few years back in my good old travel days, I did a 3-week trip to Thailand by myself, and I met these two girls there. And they were like, 30, 35, had careers, doing their thing. We had a couple dinners together. They were like really friendly people. And I remember the one girl, I think her name was Yuli. She was talking about how she just got into surfing over the last like 3 to 5 years. And here she was 33, 35 years old. So meaning she just picked up surfing at like 30 years old or 32 years old. At that point, a lot of people, they're done trying new shit, right? And here she was 5 years into surfing, and she was doing these surf trips, and she was, meeting up with this community and network of people, and she was experiencing a completely different side of life that she's never actually attended to, right? And she sounded like her life was full and she was doing these cool things that really added a lot of value and fulfillment to her life. And it just made me think, obviously, that was whatever, 5 or 4 years ago. And I still think about it today because it really resonated with me to the point where, like, this person decided to go out on a limb. She decided to be extremely foolish in a new endeavor. And now it adds so much value to her life, right? Her life is so much better because she chose to look foolish. She chose to do something that she was uncomfortable doing, knowing that it wasn't necessarily the end result that was going to give her a lot of value, but the pursuit of it all. And the idea that you're learning and getting better and getting stronger at something is very empowering and is a very growth-minded approach and allowed her to obviously build a completely new side of her and create new experiences that she wouldn't have been able to actually experience if she just stayed in her bubble, right? Same thing with training. This is something I have to say with this podcast episode because most of you will listen to this and you'll fall back into your old ways because even though you know what I'm saying is right, you'll go, yeah, but I don't want to look foolish. Yeah, but I don't want to start over again. Yeah, but I already know this, right? I don't know where to start. Like, there's always ways to learn about this. I've built programs online, literally like a year-long program and other programs, SFR Home, SFR 2 times per week, Busy Lifestyle, like things that are going to give you a nice introduction into this world as well, right? I myself can help you guide you along, right? Tons of resources, books available, different really good coaches out there as well, right? Just things to keep in mind. So let me give you an example for people that are a little bit more visual, okay? So let's take the example of someone who's 200 pounds with 20% body fat, okay? This gives the person 40 pounds of fat. So 20% of 200 is 40. So 40 pounds of fat on their body, okay? So let's go through a couple examples. So let's say this 200-pound individual gains 5 pounds of pure lean muscle. So now they went from 200 pounds to 205 pounds, okay? But they have the same 40 pounds of fat. The 5 pounds they put on was all muscle. Now, a lot of you thinking, well, if Brandon's talking about training for adaptation, this means putting on muscle and getting stronger, not necessarily focusing so much on the weight loss side of things. Won't that mean I'll gain weight? Yeah, you might gain weight. Ideally, some of you actually gain weight because, you know, you could afford to gain weight and it's going to be good for you. So even in this scenario, 200 pounds, 20% body fat, 40 pounds of fat, this person adds 5 pounds of lean muscle only. They've kept the same 40 pounds of fat. This equates now to 19% body fat. The math, 40 divided by 205. The 40 pounds of fat divided by the 205 pounds frame of this individual equals 19%. So they now gained 5 pounds, yet they're down a percentage in their fat percentage. So they are a leaner, more fit, more well-conditioned, healthier version of themselves, even though they gained 5 pounds, because that 5 pounds came from lean muscle. Big, big difference. So this person looks leaner. They look tighter. They look more shapely, even though they gained 5 pounds. And this is very common. You see someone, it's like 130-pound female that's incredibly lean, in great shape, very shapely. You know, big glutes, strong legs, defined arms. And people let go, oh, you must be, what, 110, 115 pounds? Because she's like 5'2", 5'1". She really weighs 130 pounds because muscle is just so dense, right? It makes up 2/3 of the body. So it's so dense that even though they weigh heavier, they look tinier because they have so much of this dense, lean muscle tissue on their body. So that's one thing we need to keep in mind. Another example, let's take somebody who will take the same number, so we're going to keep it nice and simple, 200 pounds, 20% body fat, 40 pounds of fat on the body, and this person loses 10 pounds, okay? So they're now 190 pounds. Now, where do they lose the 10 pounds? Well, they lost 5 pounds of fat, and they lost 5 pounds of muscle, which is typical. I'm giving you this example because it's very typical. A lot of people will have this even exchange where they lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds, and it's usually 50-50 of fat and muscle. Very common for a lot of it to be muscle because the way people lose weight, because they're so focused on the short term, is they do things that are calorie burned oriented, right? So they do cardio and they do high intensity classes because it burns the most calories in the moment. They don't think about what will happen the rest of the day. They don't think about actually increasing and speeding up their basal metabolic rate, which is the most important thing, which happens through training for adaptation. So we're taking this person, they're now 190 pounds, 10 pounds less, but they've lost 5 pounds of muscle and 5 pounds of fat, okay? What happens to their body fat percentage? They did actually lose body fat percentage, and they're now 18%. Okay, great, you're 10 pounds less, you're 2% less body fat. So again, not a horrible situation to be at, but you did lose the 5 pounds of muscle. So what this means is you're gonna slow down your metabolism. So even though you're 2% body fat percentage less, you've slowed down your metabolism, making it more difficult to maintain this body fat percentage. Because again, we need to make up for the slower metabolism. Let's just say that slower metabolism, that 5 pounds of muscle loss equated to about 100 calories less of automatic burn throughout the day. So now we need to support that 100 calories to maintain this weight. If not, we're just gonna put it right back on, right? So now we need to adjust our lifestyle, we need to adjust our eating habits. And if we keep going in this pattern, you can see how deadly it gets, because you know, this is just 10 pounds. Imagine for most people, it's, you know, 30, it's 60, it's 80, it's 100 pounds. And let's just keep saying we have this 50-50 split where you get down to 120 pounds, you've lost 80 pounds, but now it's 40 pounds of fat, 40 pounds of muscle. Now you're having a really slow metabolism, even though your body fat percentage is gonna be down a little bit, obviously. The weight's gonna, you know, be down, but the lifestyle has to be adjusted. So again, we just wanna be aware of this. It's not a great idea, right? It's not a great idea at that point to do something and train in a manner where we're going to burn off and lose a lot of muscle tissue, especially 50-50. Like we want to be as nurturing a muscle as possible, right? We want to really make sure that we're doing our due diligence, right? And we're keeping as much muscle as possible, okay? That is the idea, obviously. And the example of the 190-pound person who then lost an additional, let's just say, 60 pounds, they're down to 100, 130 pounds, that's not going to come evenly from fat and muscle because they only had 40 pounds of fat to begin with. So if they lost another 30 pounds, they'd be down to 5 pounds of fat on their body, which is not going to happen, right? So eventually the number starts swaying where you're going to be maybe you've lost 15 or 20 pounds of fat, but you've lost 35 or 40 pounds of muscle, right? Like I said, muscle weighs more. You only have so much fat on your body. So naturally, the body, if you keep losing, you keep losing, a lot of it's going to come from muscle. So we got to be aware of that. And again, if you're going to lose that much, usually it comes in the form, especially if it's over the short term, in modalities that don't nurture long-term success. So let's take another example. Last one here. So we're at this position, we're gonna use the same body type, 200 pounds, 20% body fat, 40 pounds of fat in the body. Now, this person drops 10 pounds, and they do it quickly, right? They do it in the typical fashion that we see all the time. They do some beach body, they do some high intensity work, they do some cardio, they 5-6 days a week of cardio, right? They're just hammering it, they're running 10Ks every single day, doing a little bit of weight training, but primarily they're losing a lot of weight based around the fact, initially, because of their cardiovascular activity. So they lose 10 pounds, right? But a lot of it, all of it in this situation comes from muscle, which isn't uncommon because a lot of people, when they're looking to lose weight, they restrict calories, right? And they do a lot of cardio or high intensity work. That is not muscle tissue supportive, right? It's not muscle tissue sparing. So you're literally burning off muscle mass and you're really not doing too much for your fat percentage at that point. So 190 pounds, they lost the 10 pounds, all muscle, so they still have the same 40 pounds of fat on their body, right? Because all they lost in that 10 pounds was all muscle. So now we do 40 divided by 190, 21% body fat. So this person now lost 10 pounds on the scale. They're looking thinner, looking skinnier. They're excited about losing the 10 pounds. Unfortunately, it all came through muscle based around how they're training and how they're eating. Remember, calorie deficits, training, a lot of cardiovascular training is not muscle sparing. And now they're 21% body fat. So they've lost 10 pounds, yet they went up a percentage in body fat. How is that possible? Well, I just told you how it's possible. The deficit, the training modality, not supportive of lean muscle tissue. Now, if they kept doing that, let's just say they lost 30 pounds and it was all muscle. So now they're down to 170, but they still have the same 40 pounds. We do 40 divided by 170. They've lost 30 pounds total. They're now at 23.5% body fat. So they've lost 30 pounds, 200 to 170, but they've kept that same 40 pounds of fat on their body, and they're now 23.5%. They've gained 3.5% body fat. This is what I'm talking about, right? If people keep going at it and keep training in a manner that is not muscle supportive, right? Not lean tissue sparing, they will eventually run into this problem. And at this point, not only did this person, let's just say this last hypothetical person, lose the 30 pounds and it all came from muscle, they have a higher body fat percentage, but they also dramatically slowed down their metabolism because they lost all muscle. Again, now you're having to adjust your lifestyle. Now, let's just say they're burning 1,300, maybe 1,200 calories, 1,100 calories prior. They're now burning at rest. They're now maybe burning 800 or 900, right? Where does that extra 300 or 400 calories come from? Their lifestyle, what they eat, how much they move. So now they got to keep up this regimen. Now, obviously, they lost the weight by doing a shit ton of cardio. So what happens when they stop doing those 10Ks every day? And you might think this example is a bit of an overstretch. It isn't. I just heard it on not this exact numbers, but an individual called into a podcast and he was talking about, well, I do a ton of 10Ks. I do five 10Ks a week. So one 10K, 5 out of 7 days a week. And I do strength training 5 days a week as well. So a ton of volume, too much volume, right? Obviously, the strength training he was doing wasn't great adaptation. He's probably just doing the same shit over and over, you know, because that's what he's used to. He's not really thinking about, well, I'm going to train in a way to get stronger, nor is it very conducive when you're in a calorie restriction and you're running a 10K every day. And the guy gained fat percentage, right? And he couldn't lose any more weight because his body just shut down, right? He wasn't in a calorie deficit anymore because his metabolism was so slow. His body adapted. He got very efficient with calorie burn, meaning that his body got efficient with preserving calories. Because guess what happens when you're running a 10K every day? Your body says, hey, we need calories to sustain that activity. Guess what we don't need? We don't need muscle, and we don't need a thriving fast metabolism, because a thriving fast metabolism, we can't afford to burn off a bunch of calories because we need it to actually run these 10Ks every day. And guess what? We don't need a lot of muscle mass because that's active tissue that only increases calorie burn. So let's get rid of the muscle tissue first, because that's the most expensive of tissue, a lot more expensive than fat. So you can see why the body stops reducing fat and starts taking from the muscle, because the muscle's a lot more metabolically active, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So again, we need to understand this, because if not, you're going to keep running into the same troubles, the same problems. And I have clients all the time. They'll send me great updates. Hey, I'm losing inches off my stomach. You know, my arms are looking more defined. My body's more shapely. I'm fitting into old clothes again. I'm eating more food. I'm getting stronger. But the scale hasn't moved too much. Is everything okay? Yes. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit what the scale says at that point? You're looking better. You're feeling better. You're eating more. You're stronger. You're fitting into your old clothes again. What more do you need, right? Who cares at that point? Like, I never once care about my weight unless my weight's going down too much. My weight's going down too much, I go, holy shit, maybe I'm losing some muscle mass. Unless I'm really focused on like an extreme cut or something like that, and I understand that's just part of the game. So for me, it's mind-boggling to see people have amazing biofeedback, amazing metrics being met, yet they're still scared that the scale's not moving. It's like, yes, we'll use the scale as a metric, but it shouldn't be the main metric. Let's focus on adaptation. Let's stop focusing on calorie burn. Let's stop focusing on manually having to burn all these calories, because all that's doing for you is putting you in this extreme state of having to manually burn off calories. And then you got to match your lifestyle with that. And all you're doing is that last example, you could be running into a lot of trouble. When you're trying to go on this calorie burn approach, your body says, well, we don't need to get stronger. We don't need to build muscle because we're not getting the signal sent to do that. So we don't need muscle, because all we're trying to do is burn a shit ton of calories within a session. And guess what happens when that happens? Your body starts getting better and better at that. And then your body stops burning as many calories in those sessions because your body wants to adapt to the stress you're given. So if you're always going into these high intensity classes and these high calorie burn classes, your body's going to get better and better, aka more efficient at preserving calories, right? So those classes that used to burn 500 calories, now they're only going to burn 400. They're only going to burn 300. And what's the solution? You got to do more of it. Rather than doing a 45-minute class, you got to do a 65. Rather than a 65, you got to do a 95. Rather than eating 1,800 calories, you got to eat 1,500 calories. All these things add up. They're unsustainable. It's not practical. It's high stress, chronically stressed states. That doesn't only affect your mood, your psychology, your emotional and mental state. It affects your physical state. It affects your hormones. It affects your sleep. It affects your body composition. It affects your fat storage. It affects your skin, your hair, your bone density, your lean muscle tissue. Like, so much. Metabolism, we talked about it over and over. So again, keep this in mind, right? Approach training for adaptation purposes. I'm telling you right now, you can complement it with exercise. You can complement your training with calorie burn sessions. Don't make it the primary. Focus on adaptation. What's adaptation again? Quick summary, we're focusing on a faster metabolism, by the way, by way of building lean muscle tissue. So faster metabolism, building lean muscle tissue, getting stronger, improving performance, improving mobility, improving movement mechanics. All those things, eating more to support lean muscle tissue and eating more of the clean, healthy, high protein, nutrient dense meals that support your goals. That's the way to do it the best way. That's the way to get long-term results. All the other shit's noise. All the other stuff is quick fix. That doesn't actually fix anything. It's a quick band-aid. And eventually that scab is going to come off and you're going to bleed again. So let's do it the right way. Let's get real results. Let's be happy with it. All right, guys. Hope you liked this episode. If you liked it, share it. Let other people hear it, because a lot of people don't know this stuff and they don't know me yet. So again, introduce them to the podcast so they get this information. They themselves can get the results that they want and stop banging their head against the wall. All right, everybody, have a great day, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.